CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Hello from a freezing cold Johannesburg, South Africa. Good morning. My name is Ben Karpinski. I am not Gareth Cliff. Gareth Cliff will be joining us on the phone in about sort of 10 minutes, but my buddy Malloy is here. Hi, Mums.
I was just telling Flex that winter is my favorite season of them all.
You are a cat in human clothing. You do realize this. I keep saying this to you, but you know this is true now.
I love it when it's cold and it's a little bit wet in the morning.
Yeah, it also says just sleep, which doesn't help us because we get up and tear that band-aid off every day. But yeah, it has turned, huh? It has turned, and the season of Game of Thrones can't come soon enough.
It's so, like, deceiving because you'll wake up, your house is now, like, all sort of warm. You'll get dressed and everything. I, like, put on a light jersey. As you hit that door and open it, you get hit with the Arctic minus 10. You see polar bears running across the road.
Well, speaking of which, you're blind in the background there. It looks like a polar bear is trying to get in through your window.
The wind is howling through this window. Today, I didn't even put on the aircon in any studio here. I just opened one window.
No, just get nature.
And I'm ready to put on a jersey.
Sure, well, I guess I had quite a scary start to my day, which I feel like I need to get off my chest because my heart's still racing.
Okay.
So I've got a big golf day today, so I've Ubered in, and which is never a problem. I recommend it to anybody. I really do. Have been doing it for years. So I'm standing outside in the cold, okay?
Yeah.
Michael's polar bear situation going on. And this guy phones me. He goes, look, I'm near the engine. Whereabouts are you? I thought, oh, no, this is not a good start. When a guy who works on a GPS navigation system is telling me he's at a petrol station.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like a bad drug deal. All I want to do is get to work.
It happens. It happens sometimes. They struggle to find you, even with the GPS.
Yeah. So, anyway, this dude rocks up, and he seems tired. Which, again, yeah, no biggie.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe he's been driving throughout the night. You don't know.
Exactly. And yeah. I always applaud hard work. I believe it sets you free in life, and it makes you self-sufficient, which is good. Okay. So, anyway, he's now doing wheel spins in the road because he doesn't realize there's gravel on the verge.
Oh.
And then he's going really fast, and he's going really slow. I was like, look, I just need to get there. It's quarter to six now. Maybe this guy's got intent. 10 minutes, cool. Get in there, plug in. Suddenly he starts going really slowly, but his brights are like on. So I'm thinking, this isn't so good. And there's oncoming traffic, and his brights are still very much on, but he's doing like 30.
Mm.
And then he gets up to about 80, and I was like, okay, there's a speed bump right there.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of realizing this guy just needs glasses. Which has kind of got me to the point that, you know, like if you look at around in life, right? I mean, Michael's got glasses, I wear glasses, your eyesight's brilliant, Mubs.
Well, I have a cataract in one of my eyes, Ben, so brilliant is not the word.
But, okay, so your average...
But I don't wear glasses, yeah, I don't need them.
So your average human set, essentially, we need ocular support. I think that's the phrase, right, Michael? Yeah. But every single time I get into Ubercar, not one of those folks are wearing glasses. And you can't tell me they all got 20/20 vision or contact lenses.
Oh.
They need to start doing eye tests. Now, if you use Uber or just general taxi services and you can understand what I'm saying here, give us a call, 0861-555-189. The eye test is the most important thing about driving.
But I would imagine that if you are going to be employed by Uber, they have to be pretty strict about that kind of thing. For example, you know, you do go in for regular eye testing. We're supposed to.
I hope so, because every now and again the headlights aren't great. And you know when again the guy's flashing beams straight off the bat, and it's not that dark, and you're on a pretty... I mean, it's not like we're in the middle of a rural area. Like the streetlights.
Yeah.
We're all right. We're doing okay here.
But how old was this guy? Because maybe that's another thing is, you know, with age, your eyesight does start to deteriorate.
Obviously, he was mid-30s.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes that theory.
No, because I always think, like, because now you get to the situation where you've got to rate the driver, right?
Ah.
Now, you know that, like, they rate us as well as passengers.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe I'm a 5-starer. I keep to myself. I'm always there.
You don't complain. You don't whine.
I give coherent directions. I generally stand where in advance where I am. So now I'm in the position where I can leave a comment, right? Now, I don't want to be scathing. This is the guy's livelihood. But at the same time, death is a reality when you can't see on a road, right?
So what are you going to say?
I don't know. I've started off with, I think he needs glasses.
Okay.
That's not too mean, is it?
No,
I'd leave it at that. It's straight to the point.
Okay, but I mean...
isn't the point of the comments for them to get you to share what your experience was like?
So there's better for the next person?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then... I think it's okay to be honest here.
I think he needs glasses.
Okay.
Should I elaborate or does it sound too cheeky?
Maybe elaborate on why you think he needs glasses.
Death perception not a strong point? I just never know what to say from here. Like, because someone's going to read it and the guy's going to go, oh, okay, well, whatever his license plate
just
is.
Just say that his driving left you feeling a little bit nervous and you think it's because he probably needs ocular support, as you said.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I felt nervous. Not because I was going to, like, maybe die. I felt nervous I was going to miss the show.
Then that's not...
No, I'm totally lying. I felt nervous for my life. The show goes on here. I mean, come on.
Oh, who knew it would be this complicated trying to leave a comment for an Uber driver?
Okay, his driving made me feel nervous or apprehensive. A little nervous. Let's just go a little nervous.
A little nervous.
Imagine he left a comment, some dude weird looking with a, like, what are you wearing on your head?
Why am I weird looking, Michael? Well, coming from a...
From what you're wearing on your head with massive golf clubs got in my car.
You could easily...
No, I'm very clean.
You could easily be someone who's about to commit a crime. Ben is dressed in all black this morning.
Yeah, well...
With like a beanie effect thing on his head. And in the dark... At like 5:45 in the morning, Ben, you could easily be confused as somebody who's suspicious because you've got malicious intent.
Imagine he gives one star, like, had to drive slow, scared of being hijacked by a man in backseat.
Had to drive slow, looked over my shoulder about this guy, didn't say much, and he looked menacing. Okay, well...
There you go, contradicting stories.
Well, see, here we go. This is the circle of life. Huh? That's what I always like. There's always a yin and yang, huh? So maybe I'm the yang, I don't know. Casey says, GM team, my message refers to how long my sex lasts. Oh, that was yesterday.
GM stands for good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, see, Michael, I just had a traumatic experience, okay? Bear with me here while I acronym my way through this. So Casey's talking about how long he lasts for sex, to get off that topic of me almost dying now. It can be less than a minute. That's when I'm way yes already, too long, especially when I'm drunk. Okay, so when you're way yes.
When you're drunk, you're supposed to actually last longer.
Yeah, but KSG says that getting drunk makes them yes.
Well, not supposed to flex, because with some people, when they're drunk, they can't even get it up.
Yeah, there's a term for that.
Okay, Casey, I'm not going to read the rest of your message, not because I think it's badly written. I just think maybe you've got some sexual issues. You might want to just consult John T on Friday with the sex show. So, Gareth's going to be, he's currently in makeup. Now, I know he'll play it down because he always goes, oh, you know, you look like a monster like me, you need lots of makeup. So that's what he's doing at the moment, and we're going to give him a call. We had a bit of troubles yesterday with Skype connections, internet connections, those kind of things. He isn't quite a remote destination. He's in the Wild Coast. That's south of Durban, as we worked out with Michael the other day, too.
How far? If I'm in Durban and I want to go drive to look at the South Coast, how far do I have to drive?
Who's our kidnapping friend? What's his name?
Mike.
Mike. Mike, just please phone Michael and just tell him exactly where the South Coast is. Because I feel if it comes from a local, he'll trust you. Because if we tell him, he'll ask this question in a week's time.
I thought we dealt with this yesterday, though, or the day before.
But here he is asking the question. Okay. Hence my point. If a local phones in right now, give Michael the geolocation of the South Coast.
Yeah, please.
In relation to Durban, that would be
great. And help him understand, because he thought that it was part of Durban, and it's not.
Okay. Where is Sia?
He's just walked in.
Hi, Sia. Glad you could make it. Anyway, we've got another guy in the studio today. You Shadow? I'm sorry, I know it's not your name. Are you the Shadow, or are you interning here?
I'm a Shadow.
Okay, so yesterday, okay, like, again, I've got to share this with you. Yesterday we had a guy, and I don't know, he just sort of sat next to me, and I wasn't sure if we should chat to him. Like, I had some work to do.
Yeah.
Do we chat? Do I introduce myself to him? Is he going to do it to me? And there was this awkward kind of 2 minutes, and then when I looked up again, he had gone. So,
I mean, maybe it's just worth mentioning that, you know, every now and again we get people coming in to shadow the place, you know, to try and find out or observe the ins and outs of how this kind of business works or whatever. So we had a young guy yesterday, and I initially thought that it was because he was maybe just a little bit intimidated. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you walk into this building and you slap bang meet a Siya Sangweni Finn, who is just very dramatic most of the time. So that could intimidate somebody.
Just look at him rushing in here with his orange juice. Now, he looks like someone I'd give one star in the backseat of an Uber. Sorry, man. So what's your name? Sorry, I didn't get a chance to say hello on the way in.
I'm Miller.
Miller?
Milani, yes.
Oh, Milani.
Yes.
So, Milani, what is your intentions of being here at Cliff Central today?
It's basically what Mabale was saying. I'm coming here to see what is it that you guys are doing here that is different to the old stuff that we normally know.
Okay. So, you've got intentions of being in radio or in broadcasting?
I am actually on...
Are you already on radio?
Yes, ma'am. But I won't say much because I'm doing the show after one. If you do the show after one, you chances are you not a...
What, 1 a.m?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's part of the graveyard shift. Hey, no, you know what?
As long as you're live, you're on, dude.
Everybody starts somewhere, though. That's nothing to be concerned about.
Okay, we do have Gareth on the line. Gareth, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hi, Gareth.
Good. How things
go? Yeah, great. We're just chatting to Milani. He's our shadow today. We're just trying to work out the difference between a shadow and an intern.
He's doing graveyard shift. Ugh.
Well, Gareth, everybody starts somewhere. Okay.
I did those for a while. Don't worry.
Everyone does them. Well, Milani, if you've got any questions after the show, please feel free to ask any of us. Or you can come sit in here. There's lots of spare seats. Anyway. Yeah. You hit a learn, let's help you learn. So, Gareth, are you all made up and pretty and handsome for the cameras?
So lovely, yeah. I look like Miss South Africa.
Oh, fantastic.
What, 8:23 and desperate?
Okay.
Which one are you talking about, Ben?
Okay. you do sound, you sound like you've got nasal problems. Are you feeling some type of way this morning?
You know, it's been cold down here, so I think it might be that, but it's also just that it's early, and let's go straight on to set, so it's not the greatest.
So what does the rest of your day look like today? I mean, it's a bit of an early start this morning as opposed to the others this week.
Yeah, we've got, it's not actually that busy a day, but it's an early start.
Oh, okay. So is today the day where you can get some tears and some drama of people going home and their dreams are shattered?
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of people who have arrived and they're going to have to go home and they will have a very, very crappy day.
Okay. Yeah. How's your writing going? I'm kind of imagining like scenes from The Shining here. You hold up in some place on the South Coast, you've got stuff to write, and any distraction is making you angry. How's that going?
Yeah, it's not The Shining, but it's definitely...
Oh dear. No, this is not working. Again, we do apologize because, you know, if you're in the wilderness out there, it's very difficult to rely on telephone lines and cell phone reception and internet connections. So Flex, are we going to try and get him back or what's the story here? Otherwise,
should we take a group vote?
No, well, you're the producer. You decide.
See, Michael, this is where you give me hand signals going, yes, he's back on, 5, 4, 3, 2.
You see, I want to because I want to find out more about his day, but it sounds like they don't have phone signal in the South Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should we just give him one more try?
Everyone deserves a second try.
People like Gareth, apparently. I mean,
we absolutely don't understand why, but this is the case. But because it is also a Thursday, it's one of my favorite days of the week, partly because our resident political commentator and our friend Justice Malala joins us on a Thursday morning.
Did you see him on TV on Friday?
On Friday, no.
For the actual presidential April Fool's announcement?
Oh, yes, no, I did see him, yes.
So I started watching, and there's like analysts, experts, and people. I mean, they're all very capable individuals. Then Justice rocks in, everyone just goes a bit quiet. And then everyone, Justice just starts talking, and then like the show is now a thing.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying it because he's like, you know, he's here on Thursdays.
Yeah.
I mean, he really revved it up a level.
Absolutely. He's very professional. He's exceptionally capable, and people shut up and listen when he speaks. So yeah, he'll be joining us at 7 o'clock for the Burning Platform this morning.
Very nice, Michael. Are we back on with our caller?
His phone's now off. I think his phone might have died. Maybe he forgot to charge it or something.
Okay, you know what? This isn't going particularly well, but I do want your day to start nicely and in a humorous way. No, it doesn't mean we're going to bring C.S. Sanguini Finn in. I've got a little clip for you. It's some of the worst jokes you'll hear, but you can't help but just laugh and really enjoy it.
He said, I'm going to dress up as a small island off the coast of Italy. I said, don't be so silly. And I met the man who invented windowsills. What a legend. So I said to this New Zealand bloke, I said, I'm going to a Swedish furniture shop. He said, does it look like IKEA? This song is called Subtraction. Take it away. Banag. That's bang out of order. I don't know why I put myself through this. Binoculars shop. I tell you what, they saw me coming. So I went down to the local pub. Do you like local jokes? Yeah, me too. They're right on my street. I said, I bet you can't name a single subject I don't have a joke about. He said, beavers. I said, damn. But you know, the first job I ever had in this business, I was playing the back half of a pantomime wasp. And I thought I was the bee's knees. Do you know, the other day I got lost in the jungle. Luckily I had a compass with me, so I was able to draw perfect circles with a pencil. A small blue garden bird made of mahogany. Be great if I had a related joke. Wouldn't it? Bloke, I said, me and some friends have just been talking about you. He said, you disgust me. I said, yes, we did. Oh, you know, I've nearly finished filling in my CV. Just got to do that little bit there. All right, pipe down. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you with this, because to be honest with you, it doesn't belong to me. I didn't bring it with me. On the beach, I walked into the waves holding a tub of Tara Masalata. Bloke said to me, he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking a dip in the sea. So I was steering a yacht with my stomach muscles, abseiling. And this farmer came up to me, he said, I've got 68 sheep, can you round them up for me? I said, sure, 70.
I could listen to those all day. Imagine having the ability that you just get drunk with your mates and that's all you do. You just make puns and bad jokes.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't understand half those jokes. They were so shit.
No, Michael, they were just quick. There's a big difference.
I understood the cheap one at the end. Rest just over my head.
But it also sounds like a very dated kind of way of doing comedy, you know, compared to the kind of stuff that they do these days.
Oh, no. It's complete one-liners. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all he does. Back in the day, that was comedy.
Yeah.
There was a guy called, I don't know, he wore a funny fez hat. His entire joke, his entire repertoire was just one-liners. His entire career was a one-liner. But like Jimmy Carr does that now, okay?
I was just about to say that.
So Jimmy Carr's coming to the country quite soon.
This weekend.
Yeah, right, okay, this weekend.
Oh, does he have a show?
Yeah. I went to him, his last show. Is it still at Carnival City?
His last show, I sort of remember going to Sandton Convention Center.
His last show, maybe he's come back various times, but I had to go to Carnival City. I thought that was quite a compromise of life.
He's one of my top five comedians.
You know, the problem with going to Carnival City to watch a comedy show is that it already puts you on the back foot in terms of your mood. You're already walking in there feeling like... And then these poor guys have to get on stage and like put you out of your funk and then make you laugh. It's a tough business.
Yeah, well, no, it is, but it's getting back to the one-liners. Jimmy Carr based a lot of his stuff on these one-liners, Michael, so if you love him so much.
No, that is why I love him so much, because of the one-liners. I don't like these long stories that you wait till the end to hear, like, the funny bit.
Okay, Right. Right, so it's been confirmed again, the South Coast, Wild Coast, 2 hours south of Durban, Michael.
Yeah, it's not worth driving to, because I'm going to Durban this weekend, and I thought, let me go check what you guys are all talking about, that there's just like bushveld and not much to do there. So I thought, let me give it a try, let me go drive out, but 2 hours isn't worth, I can just Google Maps it.
Yeah, you can. You really can. Right, Maps. Michael, we're going to give up on Gareth.
Yeah, so basically he's getting his hair and makeup done in the hotel, but he's right at the bottom in the basement. That is why the signal's so bad. So we'll try again a bit later when they let him out of hair and makeup and he goes up a few floors.
When they let him out.
When they let him out.
When they release him. All right, that's fine.
Okay, morning, Sia.
Good morning.
What's your story? Why are you late again?
Well, yeah, life.
See, attitude. Look at that, hey, Mubs. Not a sorry. Sorry, you know, we're a man down here, Steve. We need all hands on deck. You saunter in here.
Do you know how hard it is to wake up and look like this, Benjamin?
Wake up earlier, then.
No.
Yeah, wake up earlier.
Do you know it takes me about 10 minutes from the time I wake up to the time I leave the house?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's called professionalism.
No,
I get you don't understand that.
It is like, it's a theorem of Pythagoras. I do not understand how it is humanly possible for one person to get ready in 10 minutes.
See, there's only a few steps I take.
Which
I put on my pants, I put on my shirt, I put on my socks, I put on my shoes, and then I go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth, I put on deodorant, done. What's that, like 6 moves?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Michael, you sound like a chess game that no one can beat.
If you keep it routine, you get it down to the T. Yeah. 3 seconds for the socks, 4 seconds for the shoes.
But yeah, I mean, and then you're going to McDonald's on the way here.
Well, because I had anxiety driving, because when it rains, there's like near accident vibes all the time.
Oh, so. Well, you can share with that experience, Ben. You felt like you might die this morning in your Uber
car. It didn't make me comforty, though. I still got here on time.
Well, everybody copes with their issues in different ways.
Exactly. Let's be Dr. Phil in the situation, and let's be nice.
So, yeah, we've got a shadow here today. We want to give off the best impression of Cliff Central. So when this young man goes out into the world, he goes, no, not only did I learn something today, I learned from people that I want to emulate. You rock up here.
Like dressing for success.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you're like, hey.
Essential.
Hey, 6:15, how's it? Oh.
Yeah, listen, we are a team, so we all have different lessons to teach.
Well, I like to think we're a team, but it looks like someone's got more important issues in the morning, like getting ready in 10 minutes. Anywho, Mubs, still a jam-packed day today. We are going to try Gareth a little bit later once he gets out of dungeons. We've got Justice coming in. But what else have we got to look forward to the rest of the day show-wise?
Well, after 8 o'clock, we'll bring you the interview that Gareth did with filmmaker, writer, and author Brett Michael Innes. And he's going to be talking about his latest book and travels. Then at 9 o'clock is an open book with Loyiso Bala. And today he chats with author Tafara Butayi. At 10 o'clock is The Unview with Somizi Mhlongo and Alan Ford.
Guessing that's just Alan Ford.
It's Alan Ford in the studio, but then Somizi will join from Idols in the Wild Coast.
Hopefully not from the dungeon.
Hopefully not from the dungeon. Comedian Mark Banks gives The Unview a one-on-one interview. And then they're also going to be chatting to Bridget Masinga about the Naledi Awards. And they're also going to hear from TV journalist Ruda Landman about the launch of her new TV show.
Cool. Ruda's always been quite interesting. Been quite quiet of late as well.
Yeah, I think this TV show is on CakeNet or one of those channels. I stand to be corrected. So following The Unview at 11 o'clock is the weekly mashup with Tumisho Masha. Now, Tumisho has decided to trade Monwabi Sithethe in for somebody who is a lot more nice to look at. That's Candace Mama. And it's a brand new show. It's now called The Weekly Mashup as opposed to Black Life. So you can join Tumisho and Candace as they explore all issues of life, current affairs, lifestyle, and relationships.
I don't know. I think they're all taking a page out of the CEO book. Tapping the talent. I mean, Timothy Maurice, we're picking up on his trend, and now Tumisho as well.
See, I started the trend.
Uncle Mash on the game.
at 12 is Unplugged and In Charge. This was with all the gentlemen, Simpiwe Petros, Letsego Mapanga, Weza That Guy, and Vaughn Thiel. They're solving societal issues one seminar at a time, and today they're joined by Sibusiso Hlongwane, founder of Siyabangena Seminars, which hosts national seminars aimed at empowering township SMMEs by bringing high-end speakers to help them reach their full potential. Then at 1 o'clock, it's Fashion Lab. Oof, I can't wait to see what they look like today in this cold and rainy weather, because, you know, winter coats and boots and all that stuff is just so much more exciting than a summer wardrobe.
Well, now we get to test out Gary's theory that Liz doesn't really care about animals and she'll probably wear a few during the winter.
She'll probably come in here with a fur coat or two.
Okay, so yeah, be on alert for animal activists and PETA people.
So that's at 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock today. Oh, and will there be a dog? That's another thing. This fashion show is fascinating here. You think it's all about fashions, catwalks, and clothing, but no.
No. It's a lot more interesting and a lot more dynamic than that. I don't know if there'll be a dog today, but maybe some... I don't know. Actually, I don't know. They're exploring the ever-growing African fashion industry. They're debating what is hot and what's not, ensuring your style is always on point. At 2 o'clock, future CEOs with Gareth Armstrong and Shubim Boya. Do you know how to pick a good stock? What are the 5 key things every good share investment has in common? Shubim and Gareth ask these questions to equity investors and traders from Easy Equities and GT247. This is a must listen for anyone interested in making money on the stock exchange. And we can relate to that with our own Anthea Gardner, who joins us here in the morning.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, The Queue with Mark Bland. Actor, storyteller, and futurist Ed Reggie brings his flamboyant opinions and thoughts to the show for the third time. He's not the only blast from the past. Matt Kruger also joins in to mix things up. Mark then rants about the way he was treated after commenting on a Fox Facebook post. Oh. And then we wrap up the day at 4 o'clock with Kelman on Cliff Central. Expect another heated edition of a Forum featuring special guest and former Miss South Africa Nicole Flint. Artists Max Melville and Jamil Randera tell Arie all about their Design Indaba experience. Then Grand Funny Cat from Oreo tells you how to open up with Oreo. And lastly, presenter Nomu Zimabena is the big interview.
Very, very good. Yes, Michael?
I saw the whole Fashion Lab crew at SA Fashion Week the other night. And the stuff they wear is so sick. Like, it's, you know when Bieber puts on, like, one of those outfits and, like, everyone's like, nah, that's not cool, that's not cool. But, like, 2 weeks later, it's like, everyone's wearing it, it's trending. Nicola had, it's sort of like, you know those Chinese fans, those Asian fans?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So she had that, but it was between her, it was connected to her chest and her arm, basically. So when she lifted her hand, that's when the fan came out. It was so cool.
Jeez, she might have looked like she was ready to take off and fly.
Yeah.
Michael, would you stop knocking Bieber? I mean, all week, it's his hair, it's his outfits. Give the guy a break, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not loving Bieber right now.
Anyway, there's enough of that. Michael, this negativity has got to stop. The reason we give you the lineup every day is I promise you there are so many great shows here after the morning show. And if you do want some positivity after Michael's just dreadful, dreadful rant of Justin Bieber, I recommend most of those shows. Catch back with the sport after this.
It's back. Are you Jersey tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine, and nothing's going to stop you. With 2 separate routes, a 22K for beginners or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
Yeah, welcome to the sport. Big Masters catch up last night with the past 3 contest modes. And you know what that means?
It means that you are very excited.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I always try to gauge how much do you actually listen to when I talk about golf. And it astounds me how it never goes over 2, does it? You know, the Masters last night was all about the par 3 contest. So it's like a little pitch and putt course on the estate. And all the people play with their, like, their children caddy for them. And it's all... Anyway, massive action. Mr. Gary Player got a hole in one last night.
Oh,
Yeah, I know. I mean, you can't keep this guy down. He's 80 years old. 80. Yes, Michael, you look confused.
Oh, it was a undertone comment.
Oh.
I just said, oh, your boyfriend.
No, he's a legend. He's one of the finest South Africans that ever lived, Michael. And the sooner you get that in your mind, the sooner you'll be a better person.
Okay.
Let me get your microphone. Anyway, 9 hole-in-ones in total last night at the par 3 contest. That's a new record. Jimmy Walker won on a new record as well, -8. But all this means very little, really. Generally, whoever wins it never wins the big thing, because no one really takes this par 3 thing too seriously. Like, you get a nice glass set, I think, like a store voucher or something.
Oh.
But today, it all starts proper, and there's some stiff breezes expected. Now, if this was to be the case, now, it's early spring there, okay? So, you know, the azaleas flower, all that kind of stuff. It's the perfect place to play Augusta because of changing of seasons.
Oh, bad for your sinuses, though, if you've got those kinds of problems in life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you win the Masters, you generally are someone with some pretty sturdy sinuses. So, yeah, stiff breezes are going to be expected. And because last year Jordan Spieth kind of made the course his bitch, they really are toughing it up. So they say already the greens are going to be so hard and quick. They're already playing very difficult. So it kind of opens the field up just a little bit. And I've got to say, if the wind keeps up like this, it's definitely more advantage towards someone like Louis Oosthuizen. Here's a guy who is in good form. Here's a guy who's very accustomed to wind. He grew up in Mossel Bay, in that area there, where it literally blows every single day.
But hang on, pardon my ignorance here. How do you actually make a course more tough? How do you change it physically? Do you add an extra sandbank? Do you move a water feature from one angle to another? How do you, like, do you add a hill somewhere?
Well, if the course is, yeah, I mean, if the wind picks up, so it's all about landing the ball in the green to get close to that pin, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the course is a bit harder and faster, it's harder to land a ball because it's going to bounce harder. So if the course is a little bit harder and the wind freshens things up a little bit, it's very difficult to kind of judge depth, how you're going to hit your approach shots. Everything is, every single thing needs to be taken into consideration when there's wind involved.
Okay.
So the course is already pretty long. They make slight tweaks to it here and there, but not a great deal. But it's going to be very difficult. And if the weather keeps up like this, Friday, Saturday in particular looks to be quite windy. Sunday looks to be a brilliant day. So it'll be interesting to see what the leaderboard will be come Sunday. I just think Giles Lewis-Tayson is coming into it now with the wind. But I promised I was going to give a prediction on who I think the best bet is.
So this is the guy who's definitely going to lose because of your...
You bet he is. Yeah. Absolutely no bloody chance. So the lot of attention, of course, is on the top three. Spieth, Justin Day is world number one, and Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy needs to win this to win the Grand Slam, and he'll become one of only six people in the entire history of golf to ever win the Grand Slam, which is winning all four majors. Mr. Gary Player has done it. Guys like Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, you know, Arnold Palmer, those kind of guys. Arnold didn't do it.
Oh.
Did he? No. Anyway, not important right now. Anyway, so I reckon, because there's not a lot of attention on him right now, and people are kind of looking at the other guys, Bubba Watson, for me, is going to win it this week. When it comes to sporting characters, it's actually a complete doll. He's such a douche. But it almost suits to have a character like this around Augusta, because it's a very quirky golf course. You really need some imagination to win here, and you need a hell of a lot of balls. And Bubba just doesn't care about anything. Like, he just has there's no pleasantry about this guy whatsoever. He's a bit of a dick, and he gets about his work. And when most people might be overawed by the experience and what's happening, he's already won twice. He's a left-hander. In the last 13 years, six titles have been decided by left-handers. So it definitely suits the left-handers of this golf course. So if you really are struggling for a bet, I would say go Bubba Watson. He may not like him. No one does. I don't even think his wife does. His caddy definitely doesn't. But he is your money bet this week. I think there's a lot of value also in a guy like Adam Scott and Louis Oosthuizen, as I said, with the wind conditions. But the top three, I can't quite see either of them, any of them really pushing on. Spieth said his game's in a better place than it was last year, and he went on to win it. But I think that's just all hype. It's just showing you can't duplicate a season like that the second time around. So, Bubba Watson, if you've got a spare bit of money burning around for a Masters winner, go with him. You agree? Thanks, Sam.
No. I mean, I'm making notes here. Bubba Watson is losing the Masters. He's not winning the Masters this year. And how long does it take, Ben? Will they be playing throughout the weekend? How long is the tournament?
4 rounds, Sunday, probably about 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock Monday morning, you'll see a winner there.
Okay.
Yeah, on to rugby. Now, Tuesday, 11 a.m., Bok coach announcement is going to take place, and big hush-hush, you know, who knows what it's going to be. It's going to be Alistair Goodsteer. I think everyone kind of knows that. So Tuesday, look out Twitter. You're going to have all kinds of things going on there.
Mm.
Oh, you know, it always happens. People hate these kind of things because, well, is he the right guy? Is he the wrong guy? Should there have been a better guy? It's no one ever settled on one thing with the Bok coach, and Alistair Goodsteer is in for a whole world of scrutiny. And just it's going to be difficult for him. But when you're a coach, you want to coach the Boks. It's your coaching pinnacle. Tuesday, 11 a.m., it'll all become official. As of tomorrow, will be the Hong Kong Sevens that'll take place this weekend. It is a big tournament. Sevens being a huge thing at the moment because it's being played in the Olympics. So all the teams are kind of looking to take as much form, momentum, and skilled into that, the big occasion. Olympic gold is kind of what every child growing up who can run wants. So if your sport goes into the Olympics, deal. You want that medal.
Seeing as how there is such a massive drinking culture around the Sevens,
yeah.
Do you think the guys themselves partake in these activities after they've played?
They used to. They used to get hammered. Nowadays, you know, like, there's just no time. There's no time for drinking. You've got sport and you've got Jesus for a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, it's very difficult to have 8 or 57 three beers. It's very, very difficult. Plus, you've got travel times. You know, you don't want to travel drunk, hungover.
Plus, I'm sure you're also fighting a whole lot of women off who are trying to have sex with you as well.
Yeah, these women. These women at rugby. All they want is just they want sex with players. So, yeah, Mubs, it's a bit more, a little bit less rock and roll nowadays than it used to be back in the day. So that's going to take place this weekend. Huge, huge rugby weekend. And Super Rugby. Just have a quick look through the fixtures. Who to yay or nay on the Super Brew. Chiefs versus the Blues. Can't see the Chiefs losing this one. They have been on quite a difficult run. I'm sure they wouldn't mind a bit of a bye. But they're just playing incredible rugby. They've got some incredible players. And, of course, sky-high belief and confidence. So Friday, Chiefs versus the Blues. Go with the Chiefs to win that one by about 15. 9:35, that one. Force versus the Crusaders. Crusaders just been on a tour of SA. And they had a little stopover at Perth, where they have come and stuck before in previous years. This year, though, I'd highly doubt it. Force, they're just, you know, your average lower echelon team. So look for the Crusaders to win that one tomorrow at 1 o'clock SA time by about 13. Stormers versus the Sunwolves. Unfortunately, another injury concern here, or another injury story. Ibn Etzebeth is out for 4 to 5 weeks with a calf injury. He does seem to have some problematic calves. Probably because he is 8 foot and weighs about 130 kilograms. It's a lot for a calf to kind of keep up with. So Stormers versus Sunwolves, 7 o'clock on Friday night. Stormers to win that one pretty comfortably. The Sunwolves, well, they're going to be bottom dwellers for a couple of years, I'm sure. And the Stormers, well, they've got a decent side. So that one probably Stormers by about 20. Saturday, Hurricanes versus the Jaguars. The Jaguars have been slightly disappointing. There's a lot of hope in this team because so many national players play for it, but yeah, they've come unstuck already. They lost the Blues last week. Expecting to lose again to the Hurricanes. That's at 9:35 tomorrow. Sorry, Saturday. Hurricanes to win the one by about 15. Reds versus the Highlanders. Reds also not a great side. Highlanders, they are a good side. So 11:45 Saturday morning. Highlanders by about 20. Then Sharks versus the Lions. The big SA local derby for your Saturday. Sharks and Lions both lost recently to the Crusaders. Crusaders came over here and beat both of them. So they both got quite a lot of proof. Looking at the Sharks, well, they've got a decent side. It's not... Sure, news is trying to come out of nowhere here. They've got a decent side, but it's not incredible. Whereas the Lions, they just seem to have a better side. They'll be a lot more composed for this game against the Sharks than they were against the Crusaders. It just seems like maybe they need to tighten up. That's why I think this team's going to be so good in local derbies this year, because they will tighten up. They'll be much better in sort of set-piece play. And I think they'll be slightly less adventurous when it comes to the open play as well. So you add all that to the Lions because they just lost a bit of shape against Crusaders last week. It's the only reason they lost. They beat more defenders than anyone else in the tournament last week. And look for them to beat the Sharks this Saturday, 5:05 by about 8. Kings versus the Bulls. The Kings had their first win last week. Hurrah. But they're not going to win this one. The Bulls will be too strong. 7:15 Saturday. It will be a tight game, though. Play down in PE, where hopefully there's a bigger crowd than what we've seen in previous rounds. Not a lot to do in PE, so they can't exactly tell us that they had something else on. If you're in PE, go support those Kings. They've had a difficult year. And also buy them dinner afterwards. I don't think they can do that yet. Kings versus the Bulls. 7:15 Saturday. Nothing really happening in cricket right now. IPL starts, if you're into that kind of thing. Yeah, cool. But football, wow. So much football, Mavis. Last night, Champions League. Can you believe it? Wolfsburg 2, Real Madrid 0.
Ooh.
Yeah, no one really expected that. It was going to be a tough encounter for Real Madrid, but not two goals in 7 minutes, tough. Jeepers. That's what Wolfsburg netted against Real Madrid early in the first half, and Real just couldn't come back from that. So you know what's going to happen here. They're going to go back to Madrid. Madrid will probably win 7-1 in the second thing. Everything will be forgotten. But 2-0 opening leg in the quarterfinals for Wolfsburg. What a big deal. You know, this is the team that doesn't really make it to this kind of stuff. They normally just dick around in the Europa League. But 2-0 up against Real Madrid in the quarters after first leg, that is amazing. PSG versus Man City, that was going to be the tighter, much more exciting match of last night. 2-2. Man City and PSG both made some pretty clinical errors in front of goal, and probably a fair result in the end. But because of the away goal rule, as I always stress, they're very much in the pound seats because they go to Man City now, and they just need a 0-0 draw. They can do that. They go through. So all eyes on Man City for their last chance at any sort of silverware. And that will take place next Tuesday. PSG versus Man City in Manchester. Wolfsburg versus Real Madrid next Tuesday in Madrid. And then next Wednesday we'll see Benfica host Bayern with a one-goal deficit to try recoup. And Atletico will take on Barcelona, also one goal down there, 2-1 after the first tie. Barcelona lead. That will be next Wednesday. Into the English Premier League. Michael, would you mind giving me a touch of water, please? We'll see you.
Oh, sorry. Are you gonna lose your voice or something?
It's been a busy morning. No. I just feel a bit dry. Anyway, English Premier League Thursday. You got to get the stuff out quickly. Leicester are 7 points clear, Mubs, with 6 games remaining. That sounds brilliant. No matter how bad you are at maths. So, how tough are their games? Well, look, kind of on the same level as Spurs as far as toughness, but this weekend in particular, advantage Leicester. They're away to Sunderland Sunday at 2:30, whereas Spurs are at home to Man United at 5. Now, Man United are out of the running for the title, but they're still trying very hard to get into Europe, so that is going to be a tough one. Other games to look out for there, West Ham versus Arsenal at 1:45, that's on Saturday. Arsenal in that whole thing, they have to win every single game from here on in to have half a chance, but even then, I just don't see them having any chance whatsoever. Relegation threatened teams like Newcastle, well, they haven't had a win yet. They have Rafael Benitez as the new coach. There's this brilliant tour happened over the weekend on Twitter. I'll post it on my Twitter account after the show. It's just so funny how people are so passionate about their teams. Like, Newcastle are kind of shit, right?
Yeah, it's the same with musicians and that kind of thing. People become very passionate and get into actual fights over a Beyonce or a Kanye West or something.
Well, at least those are big names. I mean, people, the Newcastle guys, I mean, their team is quite shite, but yet they're fighting with each other about, don't you turn your back on the team. Like, screw you, it's shit. Like, you know, your mother is, and blah, blah, blah. So that's your Premier League and APSA Premiership. This is what we're all looking at locally. Now, Sundowns are 4 points clear with 7 games left. So they are the big tussle with Wits. Between the two of them, Wits managed to just narrow that gap before the big break where there was cup action and international action. So the league is back on. 7 games left, and this is going to be a very, very enthralling contest. This look at the fixtures for these two teams. They'll only take place on Wednesday. They're not going to be taking place over this weekend. You've got some lesser teams playing there, of which there's nothing really to kind of report on because of the two-horse race, and everyone loves a winner. That's life, unfortunately. Wednesday, Jomo Cosmos will take on Wits 7:30, Polokwane City versus Sundown 7:30, and that'll do next Wednesday. So Wits get 3 points there. Sundowns might lose. Suddenly it's 1 point with 6 games to go. Game on. Well, it's already game on. Don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock will be the draw for the Nedbank Cup. And that is pretty much all your sport for this Thursday. I have talked myself hoarse. Michael, do we have Anthea on the ready? Okay, we do. Mubs, anything else you want to add for sport? I know you're excited about the Masters. Are you going to watch every night or just the first two?
I am going to watch right at the end when whoever has won picks up the trophy because I need to be sure that your voodoo really does work.
Yeah, in the words of Rihanna, I love the way you lie. time for the finance. Anthea, do you dance the song every morning when we play it?
Mm.
Just be honest.
I am having a little move in my chair.
Yeah, it's impossible not to. Yeah, it's impossible not to.
I can always count on you to bring up the classic. I quite like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I bring a lot of respect to this role of hosting the show.
Okay, Anthea, well, let's get us started on how the markets did yesterday, please.
So the big story of the day was that S&P rating agency downgraded our growth prospects they're now forecasting 0.8% GDP growth for this year, which is a little bit odd because it's not new news, right? So
well, exactly,
IMF
yeah. I thought we were downgrading our growth by just being South Africa. I didn't think we need to be told so elsewhere.
Well, their forecast for it, I should say then. So, but we've already done this. Treasury has said below 1%. Reserve Bank have said 0.8%. So I think what Standard & Poor's are doing is that they're basically warning us about this pending review in June and what they're going to do. I mean, they have unequivocally said that they are looking for growth, and now they're saying, well, the growth is not what we want it to be. So, of course, what happened? The rand completely blew out yesterday.
Oh,
again,
rand.
Right?
Oh, okay. How bad is it now, Anthea?
So in the morning, we traded about 15.03. Yesterday afternoon, after this announcement, 15.27.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, all of this really just impacts inflation, which is the big thing we were talking about yesterday.
So this rand is like... It's like a kid with rickets in gym class. I mean, the smallest thing, and suddenly it's like, oh, frail, gone.
It's very susceptible, isn't it? It's vulnerable, yeah. That is the problem. But this morning it's trading at 15.11. I mean, against the dollar. So even with all this kind of U.S. Fed noise about they're keeping the dollar weaker, we just can't seem to hold on to our gains. But, yeah, it is what it is. We're in the hands of... The interesting thing about S&P saying that they're looking for economic growth is that they're almost discounting all the other things, you know, kind of the trade balance as well as politics and et cetera. So they're definitely... It's a shot across the bow. And then in company news, Sinoff announced that they are making a bid for another French business. They really are becoming the European... retailer of note, aren't they? Mm. They're now buying a bedding business called Caval, which actually went into receivership in February. They haven't disclosed how much they're going to pay for it. I think it's a fairly small part of their business or their revenue.
Yeah, if they're going to receivership, I'm sensing bargains on the cards here.
So am I. Marcus Huster does not overpay for anything, so I think they've picked up a bargain. And then two other things. Adcock Ingram, which is the pharmaceutical business, said yesterday that they're selling their Indian business for 336 million rand. Sure. This is an interesting one because in 2013 they paid 822 million rand for it. They've subsequently had to write down the value by 350 million rand. So basically it's a loss.
Mm.
I think what they're doing is just consolidating and focusing on the South African business at the moment. They're a tough business because they're paying for drugs in U.S. dollars and legal drugs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Anthea, this is the legal stuff. This isn't the stuff that you get at the corner of such and such.
The corner of where, Mabali?
I don't remember.
So every time the rand weakens, their margins get squeezed. So it's not a bad thing that they're trying to focus on the South African business. And Bidvest, in fact, owns a fairly large chunk of Adcock Ingram. So I'm guessing that it's got a lot to do with that. And then the other thing is that Sun International said they were shelving their plans to buy Piermont Group. And the reason for this, I think, is because they went in front of the Competition Commission, and the Competition Commission actually recommended that they don't do the deal. They didn't say they mustn't yet, but they said they recommended not. Basically, Sun International own Sun City, Grand West, Boardwalk, Carnival City, Maslow, a whole bunch in Gauteng. And the rest of Africa, I mean South Africa, they also own Table Bay, Wild Coast. Piermont own Emperor's Palace range, the Mondial, Met Court, and a couple of other casinos. So basically the Competition Commission are saying that if Sun International bought Piermont, it would be too monopolistic. And so Sun International have stepped away and said, okay, we won't do that, which is very good, I think.
Anthea, in the instance where the Competition Commission does forbid you from doing something and then you go ahead and do it anyway, what kind of penalties do people face in those kinds of examples?
I don't think you're allowed to go ahead and do it anyway. I don't think there's anyone who's actually ever done that.
Okay.
But I will look into that because, you know, the SAB Miller...
Yes, I was about to bring that up, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they were supposed to give their ruling on that deal a couple of days ago, and they've now extended the deadline to, I think it's the end of this month. Also, very difficult. I'm guessing that, I can't imagine the Competition Commission, South African Competition Commission, saying no to the Anheuser-Busch takeover of SAB Miller, because actually SAB Miller is now such a global brand. It's such a huge thing that South Africa is a very, actually quite a small part of this whole big deal. But yeah, that is an interesting question. I'll have a look. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Well, you know, Emfe, you can always rely on us to give you extra homework.
I have noticed this trend, actually.
Well, you know, I think it's because you spark these kinds of questions within us that make us want to learn more. So
that's great.
Yeah, no, that, I couldn't that have said it better. I could not have said it better, Matt. Well done.
All right, guys, that's it from me. We'll see what happens today, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that'll be Friday. Gareth might be with us tomorrow. He's in a dungeon right now in the Wild Coast, so that's why it's just
us. Is he staying at Wild Coast Sun, at the, one of the Sun International ones?
We actually don't know, but sure, I assume he is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hope so. And he's not in some dodgy B&B that's run by a 40-year-old woman who seems to have vengeance in her eyes. I hope that's not the case. Yeah, it's Michael, is Gareth is going to be with us tomorrow, or is he coming back tomorrow?
I find out day by day. You know, just go with the flow.
I know, we all do. It's me thinking this foresight. All right, Anthea, thanks very much. Have a lovely Thursday. And hopefully the Rand will just kind of firm up a bit.
Hopefully.
All this frailty, it's not giving anyone any confidence. Absolutely none. Indeed. Cool, Anthea. Chat tomorrow.
Right.
So, yesterday we had dedications request music-wise, right?
Yes. And we have been playing the songs that you've been requesting.
We have been, because if there was ever any doubt that we care about you, I think yesterday we showed it. We played Indecent Obsession, Strawberry Lips. That is one of the most god-awful songs I think anyone's ever heard. You should have seen the messages coming through. I forget who you requested it, but fair enough. We played it. You want a song, we'll play your song.
Yeah.
But we're also probably going to, I don't know, give some honest opinion. But it was quite fun listening to the messages yesterday, like, oh, my ears are bleeding, make this stop.
You know, you can't
People
please...
get really excited about music, yeah?
You can't please everyone, Ben.
No, you certainly can't. Well, today we've got a request from Noni. Well, Noni. It's Noni here in Cape Town, originally from Maritzburg. Great show as always. Please hook me up with any lucky Dube hit. I podcast every day by stealing the internet at the work. That's the best internet, actually. It's the stolen internet. Let's be honest. Don't ask some stupid policy about misusing company property, but who cares, right? Exactly. Damn right. Good on you, Noni. Anyway, so Lucky Dube hits is coming up next. But first, I just need to remind you, Justice Malala will be in here with the Burning Platform presented by Nando's. And we've already had a request. Can Justice please have a full hour?
Oh.
This guy, I mean, he's just such a legend. Everyone loves him. So Justice will be in. And just to give you a kind of throw forward towards some of the topics that we're going to be talking about. You know, Justice, he's on the money. Not just that, but he's got some really great insights. So we'll be talking about all the people who have basically fought back against this non-impeachment. Some pretty big names here talking out about why this president must step down. Justice will touch on the August 3 elections.
Yeah, that's right. The president announced that elections will be on the 3rd of August. And remember, this weekend is your last time to register vote in your area.
If you're not registered to vote, make it happen this weekend. Otherwise, you have no voice in this political circus that we call our country. A chance of a coalition, I can't see happening, but it's quite a prospect. And then just kind of getting more into the Zuma impeachment and what it all means. There's no better person than Justice Malala, and he'll be here, well, just after 7, after we play Noni's Lucky Dube. So if you're a Lucky Dube fan, brilliant. If you do want to request the song, while Gareth is away, we'll still have this feature. He might rubbish it very quickly. So just email mike@cliffcentral.com.